There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 1206 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Glad to have you here. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. By the way, hi, I'm Sean. You're a big part of the show, of course, at 343-0106. And coming up next hour, Cam Marston's going to join us. Of course, he hosts What's Working on Wednesday nights here at FM Talk 106.5. Wednesday nights at 6. He's going to preview tonight's show, and we'll get in a little discussion about workplace trends out there and getting to... get everybody in your business to be able to present, put that best foot forward. Pretty interesting subject he's talking about, and we'll discuss it coming up at 1:30. Also, the folks from the Grand Bay Watermelon Festival and those queens, I didn't tell y'all much about it, but a couple months ago, I got to go out and be the judge for the Grand Bay Watermelon Festival pageant, one of three judges. And those queens that we selected, they're coming in today, and we'll talk about the Watermelon Festival next month or next week. That's such a big part. It's the 3rd and 4th, so it's the day before the Independence Day and Independence Day, and a great time to get out, and it's something that for a while there seemed like it was fading away, right? It used to be such a big deal as a kid here growing up in the 80s, right? That was a huge deal. It faded away. Well, it's come back with even more force now, and we'll talk about that coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Also joining us is our Mobile City Councilman John Williams. We'll talk to him about the push here for funding for the Jag Stadium, what to do about Ladd, and a whole lot of other questions we've got for him. He'll join us here in just a little bit. And I'll be frank with you, I had a punch list of things I was going to talk about at the beginning of this hour. Governor Ivey, I've got a clip of Governor Ivey actually talking about that question we posed this morning about tariffs and, you know, what a Republican in Alabama should do. A Republican, should they say tariffs against these other countries are great, stand with the president, stand on a national front, or should they talk about Alabama and, you know, what it could mean to the car building business, what it could mean to the airplane building business, what it could mean to the steel business, what it could mean to the Port of Mobile. Governor Ivey talked about that a little bit, and I had that, and then I had a whole thing, Dalton, and I can't forget this. Maybe we can do this tomorrow, because at one point, a couple worlds have come together. Number one, Dalton challenged me a month or so ago to break out of my shell and actually watch a TV show. Like, I don't watch any shows, really. So I picked up Westworld, and got caught up with season one of that show. And Dalton, I just had a feeling when I was looking at the multiple parody accounts that follow us on Twitter, when the parody accounts are talking to each other and tweeting each other, does it seem like when the hosts in Westworld talk to each other? And I get into a major discussion, but sometime this week we can, you know, you see when one parody account is challenging another parody account, mm-hmm. is challenging another. It's fascinating.
I never really thought about
that. It's like hosts, right?
But if you're looking at online as the Westworld world,
yes, right,
then you've got...
I'm onto something, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Because usually it's a parody account dealing with a regular person who tells you who they are on Twitter.
Yeah.
But when it's parody account versus parody account, discussing another parody account, I thought that was brilliant.
And how are you to know that those are parody accounts unless they are just completely outrageous?
How do you know that, you know, my account's not a parody account? You don't know. I haven't been tested yet.
My mind can't deal with these.
Yeah, we'll deal with Westworld coming up. And a couple of things were on my list, but then as we went on the air today, just a little bit before noon today, getting everything ready, I saw the press conference from Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall. And we'll go to this now, this just wrapped up 10, 15 minutes ago here, was posted up by the folks at WVTM-TV in Birmingham. And what a, you know, sad, sad news over the weekend with the death of Attorney General Steve Marshall's wife, Bridget. We were reporting this morning, I think Kelly reporting on the funeral arrangements there. Well, Steve Marshall gave a news conference about, and here's the thing, and once again, to pull back the curtain like I do, People have asked several times when the story first was reported, really on Monday. They said, well, the reporter's saying mental illness issues and then death, but nobody's saying suicide. There is an unwritten code that's not followed by everybody, but in our business, until a family states that, we don't in the media. Plenty of people do. You're free to do it. It's just, you know, if those of us that are traditionalists, a little bit old school, have that deference and respect until the family member says it. Well, now this is what Attorney General Steve Marshall is talking about. And some of the other things that people questioned about, substance abuse and what would be the irony here of the Attorney General of the state and having a family member involved in drugs? Well, we can talk about all those things now because it comes out in this press conference. Let's go to this, and we'll go with the press conference in its entirety as Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall speaking about his wife's suicide.
The folks were watching where she went and where she was going. And I don't know if it's true, but that was her perception and that was her reality. She also was worried for me because she had seen the negative articles that were false and malicious that were written by some that are on blogs that claim to be journalists. And she saw what they were doing in making up facts, and she was scared that somebody was going to write the fact that she was committed and that she had a problem and that those facts were going to be revealed to the world. And she didn't want that. And so her answer was to leave the state. Not because she didn't love her family and that she didn't love her husband, but because of the way that she perceived her life, that was her only option. And while we begged her not to go, we had no choice but to let her. We didn't know the apartment. We knew the city that she was going to. We didn't learn the apartment until the month of May. We didn't learn her apartment number until this weekend. We respected her right to be away. But at the same time, she and I talked every day. Every day. And every day that conversation ended with, "I love you." Every day she reminded me of what I had the opportunity to do in this job. And how I had the opportunity to be able to make a difference. And she wanted to make sure that somehow, some way, she didn't get in the way. Bridget was a daddy's girl, and he was talking to her in the last couple of months, as was I, to say, "Come home. Come home." And she was reaching out to see about getting out of her lease and telling us that maybe we could find a place for Steve and I in Albertville to rent until the election's over. And we saw progress. We saw progress. She came down on election night. As a family, we had the opportunity to be able to be together. And she was as happy as I had seen her in a long time. The next day was her birthday. She spent it with Faith and I. She came back to Albertville and had a big dinner with the people who loved her. And we saw a happiness in her that we hadn't seen in a while. And it was good. It was good. And then for whatever reason, something changed, and we don't know what. We had difficulty getting in touch with her. We couldn't find her sometimes to talk to her on the phone. And then she began to tell us about her stomach causing her problems again, and we said, "Go to the doctor." She said, "I'm afraid they're going to put me in the hospital." And we said, "Well, you probably need it then." But she didn't want to go. And then Saturday, strangely, she had bruises that showed up. Some had bruises, but blisters that showed up on her feet. It was odd. It was strange. We didn't know what it was. She didn't know what it was. And so Saturday night, after she had sent pictures to a lot of people to say, "What is this? And why is this going on?" Her parents talked to her, and I talked to her, and we convinced her to go to the hospital the next day. And she said she would go. And that's how we knew what her apartment number was. Her mom and dad planned to drive up there the next morning to get her and take her to the hospital. Her mom packed a bag to be able to stay with her for a couple of days to help her. And they called Sunday morning, and she said, I won't be alive when you get here. I won't be alive when you get here. And Britta's mom called me and told me. I said, let me talk to her. I got on the phone with her. And I just talked to the person that had no hope. She said, I don't have a purpose. And I'm tired. My body's failing me, and I don't know why. I've had pain for a long time, and I don't want to endure it anymore, and I'm just a burden. And I told her why she wasn't. And I told her how she was loved. And as a guy who professionally is supposed to be able to convince people with words to do something, I couldn't reach her. And she said, I'm tired of being tired. See, I'm tired of being tired, and I just want to go. And then she said, do you want to hear it? And I was like, no, I don't. And then she hung up the phone, and we had called the police. And I continued to call her phone, and she didn't answer. And then we learned that she had died from a gunshot wound in that apartment. And our lives changed, and changed forever. That's her story. And we don't share that lightly, because it's the most personal secret this family has. But yet, that was robbed from us. But I hope it also affects others. I've gotten more texts this morning about people who shared family stories of their own. And they said they understood. But I can tell you this. There's never a doubt of her love for the people who are standing behind me, or our love for her. But what we're forced with is somewhat of the question of why. All of us over the last couple of days have each talked about what could we have done? How could we have somehow or another done something that would have changed how she perceived herself and others? For me, I wonder whether or not if I was an attorney general, if she'd still be alive. If I hadn't chosen public service, whether she would still be here today. And I'll be haunted for that for the rest of my life, as I will those words and my failure to be able to make her understand that she didn't need to do what she did. That is the story of her death. But what we want to be able to focus on is the story of her life. And the people that are here today know what a beautiful woman she was. And it wasn't just outside, because she was absolutely stunning. But it was inside as well. I could poll this room, and how many of you would raise your hands about how she affected you in a positive way? Because that was her heart, and that was her spirit. I'm going to hold on to that. I hope someday to be able to forget that conversation I had with her that Sunday morning. And I'm going to remember what she did for others. Linda Wayne, would y'all come up? Brandon, Brian, hey, come here, please. Now, here's our ask. This family has suffered great tragedy over the years. Bridget is the third suicide that we've endured. We lost a remarkable young man in Austin Gentry who died way too soon. And now Faith today is going to view her mother wearing the wedding dress that she bought to wear at Faith's wedding. We just want to grieve. We just want to be able to mourn. And we don't want to talk about her death, but we want to talk about her life. And we're going to start today. We're going to be able to go, and we're going to be able to see her today. and in some ways say our goodbyes. And tomorrow we're going to visit with many of you that are here and others that will come pay their respects. And Friday, we will have an opportunity to be able to celebrate her. And I look forward to being able to talk at that service, maybe feeling more led than I've ever felt in my life to be able to share who she was. And I hope I can do it well. Y'all, it's times like this that I wonder why anybody wants to be in public service, why anybody wants to run for office, because somehow or another, it makes others in their lives public, and that's not fair to them. She didn't deserve this. But what I know right now is Wayne and Linda desperately miss their daughter, that Brian and Brandon absolutely feel the loss of a sister in Faith, who is the most precious thing in my life, and I will do anything to defend her, no longer has her mother. And for me, at some point, I've got to go back to Montgomery. And I'm going to go, unfortunately, alone. Because my biggest supporter and my biggest fan in what may be one of the most difficult periods of my life, personally and professionally, will not be there behind me. But y'all, there's a special place that I'll have, because I told you she came down on election night. It's the last night that we spent together. The next day we went out and celebrated her birthday, and we had so much joy. And I was around that afternoon working on stuff to try to keep my job. And I didn't know that she had left a note for me on my dresser. And this is what she said. "Steve, I knew you would pull this off. It was a great birthday gift I knew was coming. You are the man for the job in Alabama. I love you more than you'll ever know, and couldn't be more proud of how you handled it all, as you always do, with grace. I love you. Love, Bridget." That is the woman I will celebrate this week. That is the life that I will share with others. And that is the life that I will remember. Please allow us to celebrate that life and to no longer have to discuss her death. Thank y'all for being here.
And that is, of course, Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall at a news conference on his wife's suicide. Like so many have texted in and emailed in, yeah, heartbreaking is an understatement in this situation. And kind of rolling through what the pressures were like on his family and obviously his wife, and asking for some peace of mind and to be and to have that part of what's going on in their family, off limits. And I think the Attorney General asked for something that's very fair on that. We'll come back, and it's a very sad situation, and to hear more from the Attorney General to answer some of those questions that have been bouncing around in Alabama politics. I think he answered the majority of them that I've heard asked. So with our deepest condolences to the Marshall family, and hearing that press conference from just a little bit ago from Alabama Attorney General.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
1229 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Coming back after the bottom of the hour news update, Mobile City Councilman John Williams is going to join us. A lot to talk about here in the discussion around stadiums, existing stadiums in the future, and the stadiums that will never be. Well, I don't know if there's a stadium that will never be. Also, I'm with you. So many people, and look at the text line here. My heart is broken too, and listen to that. Obviously, I've gotten to know Attorney General Steve Marshall over from the time he took the appointment to the campaigning season, having him in the studio. And to be frank with you, and Dalton will tell you the same thing, there's been a chance to visit with him not only during the news breaks, but like in the 8 o'clock hour by the time we wrap up at 9, if they don't have to be with somewhere for, you know, half hour or an hour, visiting with him, because Steve's family lived here for a while, a family from Uri, and they, you know, just visited with, and never knew his wife. But I was heartbroken indeed, just like so many of y'all on the text line. What a story. And you, I mean, whether it's him talking about what these last few months had been like when he received that letter, all those things, very touching. And let us, you know, let us as a state think about how that family, that their daughter and Steve, and I'm sure so many family members that we don't know that you saw assembled at that press conference today, are suffering. Our hearts are absolutely with them. All right, 1230 FM Talk 106.5, and we come back. So it's Slad Peoples, it's the Jags Stadium, it's questions of who's going to spend what and why. Well, that's why Councilman Williams is in next.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1235, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Glad you're here. Guest in studio, Mobile City Councilman John Williams. We're going to get in discussion of stadium, city, stadium to be, money, all those kind of things. I do want to take this call here. Let me go to David, joining us from Mobile, and wanting to react to that press conference from Attorney General Steve Marshall and talking about the suicide of his wife. And I know this is something from talking to you before and, of course, reading what you wrote for AL.com, that this is something you've dealt with in your life.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm one of those people that Attorney General Marshall described when he says that, you know, I know what he and his family are going through and the road ahead of them, because I'm 35 years down that road, or 36 years down that road now. And there's a couple of things that I wanted to reiterate for your listeners and you, Sean, and that I kind of covered in my piece for AL.com, and that is, this isn't Attorney General Marshall's fault. It isn't his job's fault, because people that are dealing and struggling with mental illness, especially manic depression, process information and emotions differently than the rest of us do. And yeah, so while we would react one way that would be considered quote normal, they have a harder time, like, they have a harder time processing criticism of their family members, people that they love, because they take it really personally. And also, one more thing I want to reiterate is, if you have somebody in your life that is struggling with thoughts of suicide and depression, and all of a sudden they seem like they're better after struggling with it, and they don't really have a solid reason to be better, that's a time that you need to pay close attention to them, because that could be a warning sign in and of itself, because they may have made the decision to take their own life and are at peace with that decision. And when they make that decision and are at peace with it, they can act very normally, to the point they can actually fool a trained professional in that field, as was the case with my mom.
And I appreciate those words of advice and you know what you've gone through in your life, and I think it has touched so many folks out there with suicide. And I point out that in that press conference, the Attorney General said that was the third suicide in that family, and that is just, I can't even imagine. So heartbreak, and our thoughts, and for those of us that do that kind of stuff, my prayers with their family as well out there, David, and with you as well. All right, I want to switch gears here, and something we talked about at length yesterday, and I know this stemming off of the Mobile City Council meeting, when it looked like a Jags sporting event, or maybe some kind of alumni event, as there was a lot of USA Jaguars showing up at Mobile City Council chambers, where we had, of course, John Williams conducting the meeting. You were presiding over the meeting, and you were running the timer, right?
Absolutely.
So you were the one that was cutting people off.
Had to do it.
Why do you do that?
That is the rules of the council.
Just giving you grief.
I'm a rules guy.
Giving you grief. I know that. All right. So this is a subject that has been talked about at some level for quite a while. I mean, it's the idea that they're wanting to build a stadium at on the University of South Alabama campus. I can go back in the archives of this show years and years and years at my interviews with people on here about that. So absolutely, that train's been coming.
Sure enough. First of all, I'm going to precursor everything by saying I got a great deal of respect for the leadership of South Alabama. They are fantastically led by Jim Yance and Dr. Waltrip and the athletic department by Dr. Erdman. That we could not ask for a better leadership in our local university.
Right.
And we couldn't ask for a better mayor, in my opinion, than Sandy Stimson. I don't think that there's any anybody trying to mislead anyone. I don't think that this is anything of the sort. I just think that there are better numbers to look at, and there's a better path forward to achieve what we say are the objectives of this buy-in.
Okay, so yeah, there's two parts here, the objective and the numbers. And the numbers that were discussed yesterday when the mayor was speaking, you know, there in front of y'all at the council, and I don't have, you have the real numbers in front of you, but paraphrasing here, it was that the ongoing or the deferred maintenance costs on Ladd People's Stadium were, was it $6 million, something like that?
$6.5 million.
$6.5 million. And the idea was that the city could spend $500,000 a year going towards this easy payment plan here to get to $10 million to go into the projected or the proposed stadium at USA and get what? Then you explain something to me in a second here, this $2.5 million. But that would be a way to get the city out of what, having to deal with all that deferred maintenance, but still have a place to have Dollar General Bowl or have Senior Bowl?
That was just a big concern, according to those speaking, that Senior Bowl and Dollar General wanted places to play a quality venue.
Okay.
And let's just face it, South is an old stadium. It is an old
Ladd
stadium.
People's is Ladd, a, yeah,
Ladd Stadium.
Yeah. It is, well, heck, by the, what, is 70 years old now? Now, that's in today's world, 70's not old, so y'all don't get mad. But in the stadium world, you know, 70.
That's an old steel structure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And there's a report that was done in October of 2016 that outlines some of those deficiencies.
That's another thing I have in my notes, that this report comes out that Ladd People's scored a D. I guess a D on being...
Yeah, I'd hate to have that English teacher, because I would have never passed. Because if it's a D, then I would not ever want to see an F. And, oh, by the way, I'd love to see an A. It's just got to be something spectacular.
What would you score it?
I would say that it is a C.
A C,
just
okay.
Just a good, solid C. It is a, it's got a great field. It's got good lighting. We've done some work with the scoreboards, and while the audio is not state of the art, it is good. And some people have said it's too loud. It's too good. And there's a lot of tradition there. Mm-hmm. We've done some stuff. We've painted it's not the greatest place to do an event, but it is certainly not the absolute worst we could imagine. And it's not unsafe, in my opinion.
Well, is the structure, I mean, you've sent me some pictures. I've looked at this report. Is this thing a structure waiting to collapse? I mean, the people, you know, people call me.
That's a great question.
I'm no engineer.
I'm going to read from, I think it's page 4, the analysis of the existing conditions under the summary, and it says the stadium has many deficiencies. Many are minor now, but sure could become bigger problems in the future if left unchecked. It does not say that we have a partially unsafe and recommend immediately to close down portions until they're addressed. We are spending about, I think we allocated somewhere around $350,000 to address some of the railing and the steps and those things that obviously were outlined in here. We did not know about this study.
Okay, we
didn't get
the
this
city
until
council
yesterday. Yes, the board at Ladd Stadium.
So, but this study you said was from 2016.
October 2016.
So who commissioned the study in 2016?
I'm not sure. Now, that doesn't mean I don't remember everything. It doesn't
Councilman
mean...
Councilman Williams, I mean, there are studies we don't know who could...
We've done...
They're not handing these things out for free, right?
No. I'm sure we did a contract back then,
okay.
But let's just say my memory's not photographic. I'm
trying to get some answers.
I would say that more than likely, and I have not had the opportunity to look back and see, what we allocated, but the mayor asked us probably to do a study.
Okay.
It may have just came out from the A&E budget.
Okay.
I don't know. But we did do
okay,
a
so, and this is
study
sitting
with
on
Barter
a, the,
and Associates.
The bookshelf somewhere there, you know, been sitting there. We paid for it in 2016. And here in 2018, we go, hey, while we're talking about this, we need to check this out. Or
yeah,
did somebody
hey,
go,
hey, council, check this out. And the mayor said, you look, it was kind of an oversight. He handed the report to Mr. Manzi some time ago. I don't know exactly. May have been
right.
A couple of days ago. And with the thought that he would distribute it, and he didn't. So George Talbot generously passed them out yesterday before the 3 o'clock. Before the
right,
3 o'clock.
Right, but not the council. Not the morning meeting.
Not the morning meeting.
Y'all had not seen that. Okay, and let me, before, because there's so much to get to, but I don't want to miss, I've got a couple numbers questions for you.
Absolutely.
You got numbers in front
right.
of you here. So we talked about the $6.5 million in deferred maintenance. Then we look at the other chart here, what the mayor laid out, said, okay, the city instead, you know, goes where we're spending we're going to do $10 million for the city. And we do that in $500,000 increments or $250,000 per event, how I looked at it, you know. But that's how we – but then it says, and then we get back $2.5 million. Now, I'm a simple guy, John. If the stadium needs $10 million from the city but is going to give – South is going to give us $2.5 million back, why don't we just give them $7.5 million? I mean –
how about we put some of the same stipulations on their things as we're putting? They're putting on ours. Let's talk about the 2.5, Sean.
What is that? Explain that to me.
The 2.5, it's not cash money handed to us when we strike the deal. The 2.5, and this, I'm going to quote the president of the university, responding to a question that Ms. Rich asked.
Right.
So he said the 2.5 will become available when we see and approve your plan for LAD, and we have a CO for our new stadium.
Okay, but the university is going to go bond this and borrow the money for the project, right? The 74, 5 million, whatever the number is. So that's what, let's say in this, don't people call in and argue, oh, it's going to cost more. Let's keep the...
Sure it is.
Of
absolutely.
Course it is.
We're just
going to
stay within
but,
a certain
but
time frame.
We can't, you know,
stay within the $10 million. That's the best
thing. Thank you.
Thing
let's just keep
do.
Some around, because yes. if we're going to debate this, let's keep it. So let's say the stadium cost, pick a number, $70 million, $75 million, whatever it's going to be. And so they secure the bond for, okay, lending agency, we're putting put it in regular people like me terms. We'll put down this much. Like a mortgage, and you're going to lend me the rest, right? And I'm going to get it at this rate and bond this out. All right. Then if the city is going to bring, is pledging $10 million total, and we'll see what happened with the county or whatever, that they pledge that, then why would they pledge that and then get $2.5 million back?
Somewhere we got this $2.5 million number.
Coming back to you.
It's going to rebuild a LAD stadium. It's going to tear down LAD stadium and put a really good high school stadium.
Okay, then why
there.
Wouldn't you? I mean, I'm not trying. I'm just trying to get to the bottom of this. Why wouldn't, if $10 million is the figure we're working with, why wouldn't I give the stadium $7.5 million and then take, if I'm the city, and then take that other $2.5 million and do what I have to do at LAD. Why do I have
without
to send it
attached.
Here and get it back?
No strings attached. If we take our own, let's just take, we're going to take our own $10 million. Let's just
okay.
take our own
okay.
$10 million.
All right.
We take $2.5 million, which the mayor says it's going to take to rebuild LAD. And if I don't know if we want to rebuild that, but I think it's an old structure that could be rebuilt. We don't need a big stadium after Senior Bowl. Here's
right.
a given. Senior Bowl and Dollar General Bowl are going to South Alabama.
That's a given.
That's a given.
Okay, so you won't need the bigger structure.
We don't need it.
But the problem is, and that's a completely valid discussion, but I think we keep turning on these side roads. I want to run down the main road, and then we'll come back and get
okay.
on the side roads. And that main road is this question that's been sticking with me since I heard it,
wow.
that if you're going to – why go through the process of the city contributing $10 million to get back $2.5 million? Why wouldn't you just take the $2.5 million being the city and do that and then give them $7.5 million?
But why give them the $7.5?
But in the
because
I don't get the $2.5.
There's three things that come back. One is free rent for Dollar General. The other one mm-hmm. is free rent for Senior Bowl. And the other is $2.5 million. To me, rent, the maximum amount of rent over 20 years would be $4 million. We rebuild a stadium for $2.5. We're at $6.5. What about the other 3.5? Why are we so bent on putting $500,000 a month or a year into South Alabama?
But I would, and we're going to go to the break here, so we're going to get short on time. But I mean, I would argue that we've been in a situation where folks have come to me for not you, but with the city in general, saying we ought to do this because look, here's what the city gets in sales tax revenue. Here's the economic multiplier effect of these things. So if $1 spent here nets you $3 kind of thing.
You're still going to get that. South is still going to go to their own stadium. Senior Bowl is still going to do theirs at there for as long as they live. And Dollar General is going to go there and stay there as long as they're a bowl game.
All right. Well, just this. We'll run to the break. Coming right back, Mobile City Councilman John Williams in. Take your calls and text at 343-0106.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
By 1253, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Mobile City Councilman John Williams in the studio. And a lot of questions here, and I keep going back to the same one, and it's only one of about, I think, a dozen or so questions I probably could come with very quickly, but it's one that I don't even kind of think I know the answer to at all, so I'm really prying on this, and that's that $2.5 million. You know, you and I were talking analogies during the news break, but it would be like, you know, saying, hey, Mom and Dad, I got to have, $10,000, and the kids got accepted to, you know, they got accepted to UAB. They got accepted to this school or whatever. I got to get the kid in and pay this tuition. And then I'll say, but when you give me the $10,000, I'm going to give y'all $2,500 back so you can fix the patio. Why wouldn't Mom and Dad just give me the $7,500 I needed and then take the $2,500 for the patio?
I know it. Let's drag that same analogy.
Okay.
And now I'm going to be the president of this deal.
Okay.
And I'm going to say, not only am I going to give you the $2,500, $2,500 to rebuild the patio, but I want to see the drawings of that patio before I give it to you.
You mean, so I tell Mom and Dad, who are giving me the money in the first place, I'm going to give back to them that I need to approve the design on the patio.
That's right. I want to see an approval.
Yeah, that's strange.
And oh, by the way, and then again, you know,
I don't get that.
Then she's got to pass UAB or you know, she's got to really get in and make it, because right now they're saying that we've got to get occupancy. We've got to get all approved, all the permits approved.
So, John, you're saying this language is coming from the University of South Alabama to the city?
This is a president of the university speaking yesterday, and I tell you what, again,
Dr. Waldrop is saying
respect
that,
for Dr. Waldrop, but he said that under no uncertain terms that money would not be available before he saw and approved the plans for LAD and had a certificate of occupancy so they could move into their stadium. I'm not putting any words in there.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I listened to you yesterday. I keep feeling like there's like some people, you know, when you got the equation in a math class or something like that, and you said, I'm missing one of the, and you finally went up to the teacher, they, oh yeah, I didn't give you the, you know, I didn't give you the X in that, or I didn't give you the Y.
South Alabama is the one accepting the risk, and we are trying to avoid affecting our bond rating, maybe, and we are not borrowing any more money until we get that prop back up where it needs to be, and we've come a long way in that regard.
Okay.
So South's going to take on the risk. South's going to take the bond issue. They're the ones that are going to borrow the money, and then they're going to slide us something like a refi money in the 2.5 so that we can make sure that we don't have an eyesore in Ladd Stadium, and we can restore that to make sure that our four area high schools that call that home field have a place to play.
I'm following like 80% of what you're talking about. I still don't get why the city doesn't just hold $2.5 million back and go, tell you what, here's the deal. Y'all, we're gonna keep 2.5. We're gonna do this LAD thing. We're gonna give y'all 7.5, and we're gonna move on.
Hey, better yet, Sean, I'm gonna take my own $10 million.
Okay.
And I'm gonna buy a new stadium at LAD for 2.5. That's the mayor's numbers, not mine.
Is that the idea of putting this, you know, 5,000 seat capacity, something like that, more in line
6,000? Three and two, maybe.
All right.
A 4-1. I don't know how you do that, but then a typical stadium, and much like the McGill Stadium, which is a quality stadium. Then they said that the other return is rent. So Joel Oberman, Dr. Oberman told me yesterday that they would charge as much as $100,000 a game for rent for that stadium. And that's okay. 2 games a year, 20 years. I'm just using their numbers.
Right.
That adds up to $4 million. I'm still at only $6.5 million. I've got the $2.5 they were going to give us, and I've got the free rent they were going to give us. That's it.
And you're at 6.5.
I'm at 6.5. I've just saved us, 3.5? Is that my number?
Yeah.
And then I'm going to rebuild Hank Aaron Stadium, FM 106.5 radio station.
Yeah.
And we're going to have some money left over to do whatever it is.
Wait a second. Did you just say you're going to rebuild
FM 106.5?
You're going to rebuild the studios here?
Why not?
Okay.
Because I mean,
right.
you,
I think,
you're
what
an
a brilliant
economic,
idea. What
you're
a
an
brilliant
economic
idea.
Generator.
Yeah, well, we are, but that's a brilliant idea. I like that one a lot. All right, can you hang on over the news break?
Absolutely, love to. Thank you.
Yeah, people are asking a lot of questions here, too, so I want to get to those on the text line and also on the phone line. So, Paul, others, we're coming to you on the text line. We're going to answer your questions. We're doing that all after the news right here on Midday Mobile. This is FM Talk 106.5. It looks like we're getting some new studios. This is going to be fantastic.